everyone. So I am coming from a weird angle. We are, just so everybody knows, I'm experiencing tech issues here at the Crabtree household. So you may end up seeing Chris run around a little bit. We are trying to get, I've lost my glasses. We are, my computer crashed yesterday. There is like just a multitude of things happening here at Tribe. So it's just one of those times where you're just managing your mind as much as you can. So anyway, we are going to talk today. I'm going to do Q&A. So you guys can go ahead and start putting in here if you want to start putting in hashtag ask. And then you write your question. I'm going to have to be doing it from my phone today. I don't have monitors or anything. We're hoping that my big computer is going to, I don't know. There's just issues. We've been working on it for over a day now, and I don't know what's going on. So it doesn't look good, though, since it just said apple.com support !! So we shall see. I want to start off by addressing something I think that commonly happens in the tribe, and that is we have people who, like, you'll join, you'll have success, or you'll join and you kind of are like you don't totally commit. I think the bottom line is it's when you feel like I'm not committing, because first of all, you create a lot of story around whether or not you're committed or not. You know, commitment is one of those things I think a lot of you think that commitment means that you're showing up perfectly or that you're doing the things. It's not necessarily what commitment means. Like, bottom line, commitment is when you just agree that you're going to keep going no matter what. That's what, Christy, that's all I'm talking about today is I'm struggling. What's the best way to spark or reconnect with the program? So the problem is that you guys sit around thinking that commitment is hard, or that you're struggling and all these other things and I don't know what to do. Guys, I'm telling you, you have to quit telling yourself you don't know what to do. That is the worst thing that any of you ever say in your entire life. And I don't care if it's with your marriage, your job, how you drive somewhere. You guys know what to do. If I said there's a gun pointed to your head, I need you to figure out the next best thing to do today in order to lose weight, every single person could figure that shit out. But when you're sitting around and you're not enthused with the idea of doing some work, it's a lot easier to say, I don't know. Here's the other problem that comes up. Guys, have you even asked yourself why you're losing weight? Like, seriously, ask yourself why. If you are struggling right now, I know Melissa made a post where she's like pissed at PNP, pissed at herself, pissed at success stories, all that stuff. All anger and shit like that does, let me just tell you, that is the easy feelings to have. It is so much easier to find a target outside rather than to look inside as to what's truly going on. It is no different than, like, let's say that you are like my computers and stuff, right? Like, I'm just going to tell you, on the inside, I feel like I'm dying. When I can't do my plan, when I when shit's not going right, like all of a sudden, like all the, it just brings up all your shit. This is when you know you're totally dialed into yourself, because you can cry at the drop of a hat. But it's like, when you understand, like, it's easy for me to be pissed at my husband that my computer's not working. It's easy to be mad and angry and stuff. But what's not easy is to be like, the reason why I'm angry and stuff is because I'm so worried about things. It's because it brings up my insecurities. All the stuff that I don't normally think about come to the surface. That's why we don't commit. Because of this part. The reason why we eat is because of this part. You don't want to be doing any of this. So, like, don't sit there and tell me you don't know what to do. You know what to do. Go push play on a goddamn video. That's it. That's seriously all that has to happen. For those of you who are like, I don't know how to recommit to the program, go to pnptribe.com. There's a button that says, start here. Like, that part's not hard. The hardest part of it, guys, is uncovering why you're not doing that. That's the hard part. Thank you, baby. That's the parts that we have to address. So I want to talk about this stuff right now. So don't tell me you're angry at successes, and don't tell me you're angry at PNP and all this other shit. You're disappointed in yourself, and that's always the hardest thing. It's easier to be angry at yourself than it is to be disappointed in yourself. It's also easier to be disappointed in yourself and then beat yourself up and have self-judgment rather than to face your fears that you may never be able to lose weight, that you can't get your shit together. That's the problem. It's facing your fears. So you need to ask yourself when you're not committed and when you're struggling and stuff, what am I so afraid of? You will write that stuff out. You have to get out a notebook or a pad of paper or something, and you need to handwrite. I do not want to see typing. I do not want to see anything. I want people with a pen and a fucking piece of paper, and I want you to write. The reason I want you to write is because your brain needs to actually do this process. It doesn't need to be like, I'm not saying that when you type things it's half-assed, but when you're really talking about fear and being scared and worrying and upset about what's going to happen, you need to take the time to do it the real old school way, where your brain has to slow down and it has to have all the things go down on the paper. That just has to happen. And I don't want to hear any excuses, and I don't want to hear no bullshit that I'm afraid somebody will read it. Then go sit in your car, write about it, and I don't care if you take a match to it and burn it. You have no excuses. You're going to write about your fears. So the first thing that has to happen is, what am I so scared of? But for most of you, it's going to be, I'm very scared I can't lose the weight. I'm really scared I can't do this. I'm scared that I'm a failure. You need to just get it all out of your head so you can see it. And then we're not going to judge it. Step two is, there's not going to be sitting around and then thinking your brain's broken or that something's wrong with you or anything like that. No, you're a human being. That's the way we roll. Our brains were always designed to judge and find danger and fear. You know, your brain wants to tell you that something's wrong with you so that you'll quit writing, so that you don't have to feel bad. It wants to drive you straight on into McDonald's. It remembers every single time that you have felt scared and worried you can't lose weight, that when you ate, it temporarily didn't have to feel that anymore. That's why you're eating. That's why it's easy to break your plans. The next thing that I want all of you doing is I just keep taking my glasses on and off. I want you to think about this. Why am I losing weight? Why do I want to lose weight? When I'm creating my plan, what are my thoughts about it? Like, this is super important because I've been talking about this a lot. I think a lot of you, the reason why you cannot commit to your plan, one is if you don't believe you can lose weight, you're going to have to work on that. And then when I say work on that, that means like you're going to have to start telling yourself, I may not believe I can lose weight, but I am willing to do the plans. Rather than sitting around, I don't know why I'm doing this plan. I'm probably not going to lose weight anyway. This is some bullshit. The next step is to figure out, what is your thoughts about this? Why are you creating this kind of plan? For all of you who are, like, creating a plan every day and then just breaking it, I can fucking guarantee you it's not realistic. You're sitting around, and you're feeling bad about yourself, and you're judging yourself, and then you're creating these plans, these 24-hour plans, and you're bastardizing my program, and you're not doing it realistic. Here's what you're doing. You're sitting around and you're creating a plan from fear that you can't lose weight, from punishment because you think something's wrong with you, and that you're not worthy, and you need to eat this way, or you believe somebody else's damn opinion who hasn't lost weight or has done it like an asshole and will probably gain their weight back rather than listening to me. What I don't understand is why the hell you're in PNP and you're going to listen to your friend in the cubicle next to you. Or your husband and his opinion about keto. God love him. He just wants the best for you. But guess what? You're here. You might as well trust what I have to say rather than you guys having all this faith in your fears. Your fears are lying to you. They are lying to you. They are convincing you to be angry at people who are doing the program. That is what fear does. It is some bullshit. And you're all gonna have to like just see where it's bullshit and call bullshit on yourself. If you wanna be angry at something, be angry at the idea that you're allowing that shit to actually cause you to break your plans. Like, every one of you who's struggling, step one today, write down what you realistically eat. I don't give a damn if it is a Big Mac and going from a large fry to a small fry. It needs to be on the plan. You guys always ask me about this realistic plan. Like, I don't know how this is going to help me lose weight. What you're doing now is not helping you. Quit trying to figure out how my realistic plan won't work and start admitting that what you keep doing over and over again for fuck sure is not working. Because sitting around trying to create punitive plans because you don't like yourself or you don't think you're good enough or you don't believe in yourself yet and all this other shit, those plans are not working. That is a busted ass model. It is time. If you're going to be afraid you can't lose weight, then be afraid doing my realistic plan that I know will teach you. The magic of the realistic plan is what's happening, guys. You are sitting around and you are creating these fake ass plans that you're not going to commit to. You think you're going to commit, but you're creating them from like this self-loathing ass shit. You're creating plans from a place of not being good enough, being too fat, being unlovable, got to get my shit together because I just can't be this weight. That is the problem. And then when you create that plan, when it starts to get hard, because it's going to get hard, you have not taught yourself how to talk to yourself in such a way that's good that you want to tune out. Because the second it gets hard, guess what comes back up? That you're not good enough. There's no way someone like you could follow this plan. What are you doing over here? We just need to eat something. Because you're not only creating the plan from self-loathing, but now you're going to self-loathe while you're trying to do shit that doesn't feel natural. That's why that blows up on you every single day. Here's the difference. And then you unconsciously eat. So then you just eat shit. And you tune out. And you don't listen to what you're saying to yourself anymore. And you just turn it all off. The realistic plan, what it does is no, it probably isn't. Like I'm going to tell you right now. If you are starting off the day with my coffee and at lunch, you grab ass some Tootsie Rolls, and by 4 o'clock, you're cruising through a drive-thru, and at 8 o'clock at night, you're scarfing down ice cream, and that's, you're gonna have to be your plan today because that's what's realistically happening. No, in the short run, you are not gonna lose weight. What you're gonna do is you're gonna lose your bullshit conscious eating though. We're gonna turn a bright light on all this eating. You are going to plan it. You're gonna go to the Tootsie Roll thing like, oh, well, it's time to have Tootsie Rolls. It takes all the fucking fun out of having Tootsie Rolls. Because here's the thing. When you go unconsciously, you're just doing it. You're just doing it. You're not thinking about it. Then when you go, when they're on the plan, it's painful. Because this is what you'll tell yourself. I don't know how we're going to lose weight eating Tootsie Rolls. All of the stuff that you think on the back end before you even try the realistic plan happens right before you eat. That is a lot better than it happening after you've ate. There's no way we can lose weight eating Tootsie Rolls, but we just ate 10. Same thing with McDonald's. I'm going to tell you, when you make a realistic plan and you put all this food in there, it's not as fun. It's not supposed to be fun. It is supposed to put you in the state of consciousness. Because when you're consciously eating that food versus unconsciously eating that food, your future self has a voice all of a sudden. She doesn't get a vote when you're doing it your other way. The only person who's getting a vote over there is your fat girl thinking version. She gets all the say. We don't want her to have all the say. We want our future self to be able to come in and be like, are you sure you want to order all this? Like, what if we just level up a little? What if we do some of these concepts? The conversation is what's supposed to happen. And that's what I need you guys doing. So here's the deal. For all of you who are like, how do I recommit? Step one, push play on video one, module one of the No BS Success Path. I do not camouflage our materials. Yes, we have lots of things, but I have told you from day one, I don't care how long you've been, if you've been in PNP since August of 2015, there has been one thing to do. When all else fails, module one, lesson one, push play and get the workbook out. Do the worksheets. Do not sit there and tell me you ain't got time. If you have got time to bitch and moan and be angry and disappointed and stew and overeat, if you got time to do all that stuff, I guarantee you, you got time to do some worksheets to solve your problems. Be willing to solve your problems more than you're willing to sit around and act like a helpless victim to them. None of you are victims. No one is. You have got to quit allowing that of yourself. You have to quit victimizing yourself time and time again over this shit. So you go and you push play and you print my workbook. And if you do not have a printer, you go to Staples. And if you do not have a Staples, you go online to staples.com and you order it. If you want it bad enough, you will figure out how to get it. It is no different than if you really want ice cream, your ass would drive through a snowstorm to get it. Be willing to get a workbook printed. You need to write down the shit you're afraid of. And then you need to write down why you're losing weight. And if it's full of self-loathing, then you need to turn the page over and say, the reasons why I love myself enough to do this are... these are the things I want for me. These are the things I'm willing to tell myself 10,000 times today versus that bullshit I keep telling myself. And Melissa, if you watch this, when you're sitting around and you're thinking about that triathlon you did now, and I think you're to quote, now I can't run a fucking mile without it hurting. Rather than sitting around thinking about not being able to run a fucking mile, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to go out and run a fucking mile and it hurt. That's what makes a runner. That's what makes you strong. Doing it when you don't want to, doing it when you have self-judgment, doing it when it sucks the wind out of you. If you want to get better, get out there and start getting better. If you want to sit around and then look at the nightmare, then do that too. Both of them are going to suck. Which suck do you want right now? The one that has a payoff or not? And that's where we're at here. All right. Sorry, I feel like I'm so angry today, but oh my God, I haven't been able to TDL yet today. And I am like, on the inside, I will be writing my own after this because there is plenty of muck going on in my brain this morning around this computer and my schedule and all this other stuff. So that's where we're at. The Queenie is just having a day. I know everything will be fine. I'm just like you guys though. When things are not going as, like when things aren't going the way I plan them, my brain automatically goes to all the worst case scenarios. And it's my job to make sure that I wrangle it back in and I take control. Tips on finding, hello, Melanie. Tips on finding my plus two. I think I stop in time, but 5 minutes after I stop, then I feel too full. Thanks. What I would do is just notice where you're typically stopping right now. Stop about maybe 2 minutes sooner. You could even try timing your meals. Most of us eat about, it's so funny. I did this a long time ago. We had this week where we timed how long it took us to eat. And I think mine was always like 7 minutes. We almost always eat about the same amount of time. Time how long it's taking you to eat, and then just set a timer. And don't go faster because you know you're going to stop sooner, but just stop sooner. The other thing you can do is just like whatever you're normally serving yourself, go ahead and make it a smaller portion, and you could try it that way. And sometimes, guys, it's like if you stop at your plus two and you feel too full, it's literally only going to take a couple of bites to like level that out. It's not going to be that complicated. But if you're losing weight, Melanie, then you're probably doing fine. So it just is, you know, it's just your body just, you know, gets caught up. Can my hunger scale change? Yeah, it changes all the time, Jenny. It seems like I'm eating even less than last month. You might be, and it may be. Sometimes like what happens is that as we get more aware of our hunger scale, we start noticing that what we thought was a plus two was maybe still like a plus four when we first started, and we still could get results. And now we realize we just need a little less. And so you kind of start dialing it in, but that's fine. It's like I always say when it comes to the hunger scale, guys, it's not so much is your number like super accurate. It's a trigger to get you to pay attention to your eating and to raise your conscious awareness around food rather than eating on autopilot or just eating what you served yourself. Well, thank you, y'all. I love this top myself. This is Boston proper. I just got out of the shower. Y'all are all wondering why I look so nice today. Let's see. Oh, congratulations, Joelle. She finally hit the Queen's Club today. She's down 27 pounds. Joyce, this is so what I need to hear today. How do you always know? Well, I went to the Facebook group and saw a post and a bunch of you replied to it having the same problem. That's how I always know. It's easy for me to figure it out because I just watch what you guys talk about. And honestly, I will say this. I don't necessarily struggle with the food part anymore, but this is the way I've always felt about when it comes to weight loss. You know, when I lost my weight, it just taught me my patterns. And what it taught me was like how we do one thing is how we do everything. You know, like I, you know, just the same bullshit stuff I tell myself now, I may not eat because of it, but I'll want to drink wine because of it. Or I'll want to get mad at my husband. I will find my way to snack on behaviors that don't get me the results I want. My snacking just nowadays isn't with food. Like I will snack on yelling at someone. I will snack on tuning out and just been like, all right, y'all have to handle it. I'm just going to just work, you know, whatever. Like we all have these things that we do and patterns. And like when everybody, like when they're talking about me and angry at PMP and angry at other people's success, I do the same shit. You know, I get angry when other people can take a break and I think I can't. And just, I mean, there's just, like our thought patterns are our thought patterns. So it's very easy for me to just relate to you guys and kind of know where you're at. Plus, when I read what you guys are going through, I'm just going to tell you, I was overweight for so long and I have worked with so many of you. Like I just know what's going on. I just do. And I read a shit ton. Like not only do I read what you guys post and like coach, but I listen to like books and I do things all the time. So it's just, that's what makes it easier for me because I have a passion for helping you guys. It's like, I just think that we like just deserve better lives. I honestly believe it. The day I told Chris, every woman should get to feel this way. It wasn't because I'd lost my weight. It was like everything that I'd went through to change how I thought, every woman should get to feel this good about being in control of her life. That's what I ultimately want for all of you. Megan, how many weeks without a loss do you suggest before changing up food? I feel like I'm doing what I need to do, but staying the same weight the last couple of weeks. Megan, before you change up your food, just make 100% sure that you don't have any overeats and that you are, you know, like you're completely on plan. If you're not completely on plan and stuff, we want to dial that part in before we really change anything else up. But if you have a couple of weeks where you don't lose weight and you're like, no, I've been on my plan consistently, I believe I'm eating my, you know, hunger scale and stuff, then what I would do is I would look at not just changing up the food, but I get the same thing. It's like leveling up a little bit. Where can we get some margin? You know, and then also making sure that you're truly hungry when you start eating. Sometimes what people do when they start plateauing a little is like in the beginning, you can just like think you're hungry. And that is such a big difference between where you were eating. Like a lot of people were just eating because it was time and eating because they were bored and eating because of all this other stuff. They were like waiting for nothing, right? And so they were doing a lot of overeating. And then when we start like challenging ourselves to wait till we're hungry, when we think we're hungry, we eat, you still can lose a lot of weight. Then what you can do though is once you start noticing if you're plateauing, making sure that you're having true hunger signal, if you're truly stopping at your two, just really diving into that. And then looking at the stuff that you're planning and say like, okay, if I really want to lose weight this week, is there anything I'm willing to change out, switch, or do? And then just try it. And then you're doing that from like when I was talking earlier about you guys making plans from like I'm going to restrict myself from a place of self-loathing and, you know, like, you know, see, I knew I couldn't lose weight and blah, blah, blah. You're doing it from a place of like willingness. You're like going to say, okay, well, I'm going to change these things because like, I really want to see the results. Like I deserve to see my results. You know, like I'm determined to enjoy this process. Like you're doing it from a place of compassion and love and like your dreams and your hopes. It's like, it's feeling good. And that's the difference. I was on fire. Stephanie, good morning, Queen C. I'm down 20 pounds, almost to the Queen's Club. You're going to get there fast. Pam, is there a weekly assessment worksheet? Yes. So if you have the 60-day planner, whether or not you printed mine or if you just ordered mine, there is a weekly assessment worksheet in those. There's also, if you go to pnptribe.com, go to the toolkit, look for worksheets. There's a button. There, we have it as an individual page if you just want to print the weekly assessments. I get overwhelmed reviewing a whole month. I think I would be more successful doing the weekly than monthly of those. Let's see. I don't know if this computer can bring it up. We have got a lot of problems here at the Crabtree House right now. Let me tell you exactly. Oh my gosh, if Chris doesn't get this fixed. Oh, this computer. This is a different computer that's having its own set of problems. I have this thought that totally sucks for me that I like live in that I have got to work on. And it's the, hang on. I'm trying to do two things at once. Go to planners. It's not in worksheets and workbooks, but I'll get it up in there. They're broken out individually. If you go to the planner, go to toolkit, go to planner, and then it will say click here to print the weekly planner page only. So that's where you can go. But I have this thought that because I'm married to a guy who's in tech, I should never have tech problems. It is not helpful. I am just going to tell you guys right now, it is a thought that always leads to a terrible result because like I'm always going to have some kind of, I mean, I run a fucking online business. The day that I like believe that I'm never going to have tech issues is the day that I have decided to smoke dope. let's see. I'm looking for some ask. What are some things I should ask myself when making a realistic plan? How do I know if it's realistic? I know you say 8 to 10, but I don't really know what that looks like. You know because you're going to follow it. And let me just tell you, when you make a realistic plan, here's how a lot of you will know that you really have one, because your first thought is this won't work. And I don't mean this won't work that like, yeah, I could eat this. This is that bullshit that I've been eating that's like making me overweight. It's like, bingo. Now you have a realistic plan. Because now what we're going to do, like the whole purpose of the realistic plan, guys, is to get you from eating behind your back, breaking promises to yourself, living in frustration, being suffering disappointment in yourself on the daily, being angry that you can't do it. Like we're trying to get rid of all of that shit first so that when you do the realistic plan, you get committed to being aware. Now, you are probably going to sit there and think, I can't lose weight doing this. And it's going to feel super uncomfortable and uneasy. And you're probably going to be a little scared. There, bingo. That's what we want. Because you're doing all that shit anyway with a whole host of other bullshit feelings and creating asshole habits for yourself. Like, we do not need the habit of planning unrealistically, sending those up in kerosene flames every day, suffering shame and judgment. All of that's habits. You get into this cycle where it happens every day. It's habitual. What we don't want to do is make an emotional long-term connection that help, like, because you're probably planning healthy. You're just not ready for it. And that's okay. Rather than saying, I'm not ready for it and I must be an asshole, we need to be like, and I'm not ready for it, and that's going to have to be okay right now because I'm going to get myself ready for it. But what we don't want to do is continue to prove some kind of truth that you're not a healthy eater because you can't stick to your plans. That has to stop. So when you do the realistic plan, you're probably going to feel uneasy and uncomfortable. Awareness does that to you. I want you to see what you're realistically eating. You need to experience those foods in real time with all the thoughts coming in at once of like, you'll never lose weight eating like this, but I really want it. It's on my plan. It's like, okay, but can we trust that this is going to work? Like all that has to happen. You guys are taking the easy street out by like, here I am, restriction plan. Let's just do the perfect one because we can't stick to shit. So we need to do it even harder. And then we get in there and we're like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. This is a terrible day. I don't know why. Today is not the day to start, you know, stop sniffing glue. And then you just eat. And then you feel terrible. And then you feel shame. And then you feel uncomfortable. And then you feel all the things that I want you to feel in the moment of eating. It sucks the joy out of doing that. All that relief that you were getting over there won't come now. You're going to get relief, though, from judging yourself and from disappointing yourself. You're going to get relief from setting yourself up for long-term disappointment because you keep proving over and over again you can't stick to things. Right now, what we're going to do is we're going to prove to ourselves that we can make a plan and we can stick to it and that we also can think through our food versus eating unconsciously. That's what we're layering in. Carrie, I'm 21 days into realistic planning. Tomorrow night is an exception night. I am thinking of leveling up. Do I still make a realistic plan and see if I can level up on my own or do I plan my level up? This is where I think, Carrie, if you feel like you're ready to level up, then do a small level up. Make it like just where you're going to like step your foot up. Like we're walking over a broomstick. We're not creating a hurdle. All right. So I want it to be like whatever your level up needs to be. It needs to be like speed bump style. We know, like when you start thinking about leveling up, you're coming at it from curiosity more than likely. That's what I want you to ask yourself. When I'm wanting to level up, why? Ask yourself, why do I want to do it? If it's coming from a place of like, because I want to challenge myself a little bit. I want to see, I want to experiment. I want to do these things. That's perfect. But if it's like, no, we need to level up. We're never going to be able to get traction this way. Like if it's punitive, it's not time. Now, here's the thing. When you realistically plan, guys, let's say that you get to McDonald's and your realistic plan is Big Mac, small fry, and a small regular Coke. You get to McDonald's and your brain is on fire like, who loses weight eating this? What if we just get like a Big Mac? Maybe we're going to get apple slices and I can skip the fries this time and we're going to get a Diet Coke or whatever. You get to do that. You can level up all you want, but you do it in the moment. We don't do it ahead of time before we're ready for it. That's the point of the realistic plan. Also, on any 24-hour plan, guys, anytime y'all want to level up because you're just like, I think I'm going to make a better choice. I think I'm going to like level up a little bit. You can do that. That's fine. Just go for it. Let's see. I'm downloading this fucking awesome fire conversation with the queen. I'm going to watch it every morning. That's hilarious, Kelly. If I planned an apple and ate pineapple instead, should I do a recovery sheet? I write a plan, but end up switching stuff out so I don't feel like I'm planning realistic plans. Melissa. You know, in this case, it's up to you. Like, I don't know that I do a recovery worksheet. I would probably just, like, I don't know, if I'm trading an apple for pineapple, probably what I'm going to do is on my 24-hour assessment, I'm going to note that I did it and just, like, my reason. Like, just make a note. I switched it out because I really was wanting pineapple today. Like, just so you know, I don't think that that's a problem. The recovery worksheet is when you're, like, making switches that could become a problem. A fruit for a fruit, it'd be like saying, well, I had a spinach salad planned, but I ended up a spring mix salad. Like, I wouldn't do a recovery worksheet over that. Now, if you had an apple planned and you decided to eat, say, a protein bar, that I would probably do a recovery worksheet on, because if you look at it, you're like, why would I go from fruit to something like that? You know, that's when you want to really, like, just start examining things, but, like, fruit to fruit, I wouldn't. Let's do your models with you. This is a teachable moment, and we can support you while learning. I'm not sure what that meant. Probably when I was, like, crying. Does it make sense that I can stop at my plus two when I start at a -4 or -3? Yeah. Your plus two never changes. It doesn't matter how hungry you are. This is one of the things that that people think. Like, they think they can get hangry. Hangry really just means the thoughts you have around your hunger level. It's not that when I get to a certain hunger level, I'm going to overeat. That's all a thought. You may have done it in the past, but it's still just a thought. If I get super hungry, like there are some days where this was not too long ago. It was when Chris and I closed on our house. I was like rushing all morning. I had like a Q&A with you guys. And then I had to get to the closing. We had errands to run. It was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I didn't even have my coffee that day. So like I was like straight dope. I'd worked out that morning. It was water. You know, like, and let me just tell you, I don't normally do that. And so when it was time to eat, my ass was hungry, but I still just stopped at my plus two, because it doesn't matter where you get to on your hunger scale on the bottom side, your top end doesn't change. Like your stomach is like this big, guys, whether it's got contents in it or not, it's not going to you don't get bonus food for being extra hungry. You know what you get? Bonus weight loss for being extra hungry. I mean, you just like roll with it. Speaking of, my stomach's growling right now. I have 50 pounds to lose before I can be a kidney donor for a friend. I am doubling. I am doubting and scared and overwhelmed, but I am trying to stay positive. Is it okay to use that as part of my motivation? Not the doubt and scared. But I would definitely use the kidney thing as motivation for sure, because you love your friend enough. I mean, it's not like you're giving it to somebody you hate, I would hope. So yeah, I mean, I think it would be like one of my reasons why is because I love my friend and I want to be able to do this for her. And I think that's a very loving and compassionate thing. If you're scared and doubting though, just ask yourself, you know, it's probably you're scared and doubting that you can do it, but you can have like, but here's all the reasons why I'm willing to like take the actions required in order to lose the weight, because I want this, I want this, I want this. Like, I want to do this for my friend. I want to be able to donate my kidney and stuff. Figured out why I overate yesterday. Once because I wanted to create a feeling of happiness because I had to sit and do a task I didn't want to. So I ate my planned snack even though I wasn't really hungry. Another was, and that's probably also a little bit of procrastination. It's like you're kicking the can down the road of doing the work and or rewarding yourself to do the work. Another was because I was avoiding feeling left out when others were eating. So again, even though I planned to eat, I wasn't hungry, but ate anyway. So now that I journaled about what happened and why, what is the next step? What I would do, Christy, is I would just really replay it in your brain. You sitting there in the exact same scenario and you consciously choosing not to eat and being very aware that when you have tasks, I like to visualize this stuff, like visualize myself sitting there with work that I don't want to do and me either taking a 5-minute break to write a little bit about why this work is important or whatever, or just getting busy with it and just saying or just sitting there going, I don't eat because I have something to do that I don't want to do. I can sit here and think about not wanting to do it, or I can change my thoughts around doing it, or I can journal a little bit. I can do whatever, but I no longer eat because of it. The other thing about the fear of missing out, like everybody's eating but me kind of thing, that I would totally visualize you being in the room and everyone eating and what it would be like for you to not eat and understand. It's like, it will be a little uncomfortable, but you want to visualize yourself not eating and being uncomfortable and then that moment ending and then you being very proud of yourself so that you can experience those feelings about it. I think that post-recovery visualization, guys, is one of the most important things that we teach, and we don't talk about it enough, but it's super important. Like when you do these recovery worksheets, one of the best way to get traction on them is to have that post-recovery visualization. When you've uncovered what happened, then you go back and you replay in your brain what happened with you doing it differently this time. And being really honest about what feelings you're likely to feel in the moment. Like, don't sit there and be like, oh, I'm going to feel amazing when I don't have my 4 o'clock snack that I eat every day to avoid my toddlers. It's like, no, you need to sit there and you need to visualize yourself having a lot of thoughts, but you not attaching to them. Like, I'm probably going to sit there and think I'm wasting time. I could be washing dishes and stuff, but I'm just going to notice I think that stuff, but I don't eat during that time anymore. And I want to visualize myself sitting there not eating and then going about my day and feeling so good about myself. Make sure you guys are using hashtag ask, okay? Do you have advice about sticking to plan when I get home after work? My brain is exhausted and then I realize I'm eating off plan. I'm stopping myself, but advice to catch it beforehand when my brain is shut down. Stacey, if you know this always happens, then before you leave work, you have got to visualize yourself going home and you've got to do a pattern interrupt. So whatever it is that you normally do, you need to really identify. It's always patternistic. You need to identify, I get out of the car the same way. I drive home the same way. I put my purse down at the same place. You probably do the same things over and over again. You need to disrupt them. Drive home a different way and think about what you're going to do when you get home. You got to turn the volume up on the awareness. Breaking how you normally do things does that. Is it okay to just be okay with where you are? I am probably not at an ideal weight, but I've lost 40 pounds and love it. I may feel different later, but for now, I'm happy. Should I just keep losing? I still do my basics with my accountability and all the things. What's your thoughts on it? I think it's fine, Jackie. It's your body. If you like where you're at, then stick with it for a little while and just really enjoy loving yourself. Make a very conscious, deliberate thing about all right, I'm going to practice maintenance. This is what maintenance is going to look like. And then after a little bit, if you want to lose more weight, great. If you don't, you don't have to. Nobody says you do. But use it as a time to be stay super aware of I'm really going to practice loving myself. I'm really going to practice enjoying this weight loss. I'm really going to practice keeping my healthy habits in, doing all the things that got me here, because all of those things are what's going to keep me here too. If you eat fairly healthy, what are some examples of leveling up? Also, are there level ups that aren't food related? like for me, sometimes my level up, like I don't really level up too much. Sometimes it's just a matter of like when I notice I'm a big salad girl, making my salad in too big a bowl, and I catch myself, because I'm healthy, eating more than I need. A lot of times I level up by shrinking the bowl, drinking more water. I tend to get a little lazy on water sometimes. You can level up like your thoughts. You can look for the things that you think. A lot of times, like I do a lot of writing. So I do a lot of really deliberate picking the feeling I want to have for the day. And if I notice myself always picking the same ones, I pick a different good feeling that's completely outside of my comfort zone and practice feeling that. Those are all examples of different level ups. Mary, what I would do with the water question is I would post in the main feed and ask everybody, like, what are your tips on how you're getting your water down? Like, how can you flavor it up and how you can do those things? In my previous question, I forgot to say, I find it easier to stop at my +2 when I start at a -3 or -4. Does that make sense? I apologize for the confusion. You're probably just more aware. That's okay. If you want to go to a -3 or -4 before you eat, and then you want to, and it makes it easier for you to stop at +2, I would just do that. I think that's fine. It's probably just because when you're hungrier, you're just more aware of your hunger. That's one of the good things about getting hungry, guys, is that when you actually allow for hunger, you get very aware of your hunger. You can turn up the awareness. And here's the thing. A lot of you are very scared of being hungry because you think it's going to trigger an overeat. I would rather you go and be like, get hungry so that you can practice not overeating because you think you're going to overeat. Like deliberately saying, I am going to get hungry so that I can practice stopping. Because then you start learning how to control your mind and you start really understanding, oh, I always had control over when I stopped. I just was, my control was stopping too late. I have embraced journaling this year. It helps putting words on a page. I don't go back and reread what I wrote. I wonder if I'm journaling the way I should. You do not have to go back and reread it. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I throw some away now. I used to never throw them away. I've been now making a practice of just throwing them away. What I do is a lot of times, like I will like go through when I complete a journal, just pull out some main themes, like, you know, like stuff I learned, stuff that I probably should keep working on, and I can like start off the next journal with that. It's kind of like just doing a big review, but I don't spend a ton of time on it. I don't like spend hours doing that. I usually spend about 10 minutes. But you don't have to go back and reread them. Sometimes I like to go and reread them. But like if I'm struggling, like if I have a week or two, like I'm kind of struggling. Like I will just be really honest with you guys. The last week or so has been a little bit of a struggle for me. We just have, like I have like a thought that is not working for me, that I have a lot going on. You know, we're going to be moving. My mother-in-law is moving. I have 3 trips planned. I'm going to be gone through a lot of all this in the next few weeks. So my brain is wanting to make this seem like a big fucking deal. And I keep having to consciously pull back and say, I'm going to make this easy and stuff. It's mentally taxing to do that. When you are constantly like trying to like get your brain to come back to normal, come back to reality, and don't create these stories and stuff, it's just, you know, it wears on me. And guys, that's normal. You know, when you are really paying attention and guiding, what I would rather do is go to bed exhausted every night, because I'm constantly trying to bring my brain back to normal, not to catastrophize, not to be angry, not to do all these things. When I'm trying to like stay level, it's exhausting, but it's so much better, because what happens is you keep moving forward when you're doing that. When you just start believing all the shit and letting it go and whatnot, what happens is you look up and a month later, you're off track. Like for me, I'll look up and I will have started some negative habits and have gained 5 pounds. And then I'm like trying to lose 5 pounds. Like, I don't want to do all that. I'd rather just go to bed tired every day. And I'd rather just like listen to everything that's going on and work on it than to be, you know, having to work on it later. At some point, we always have to pay the price. So, you know, it's just a matter of like when I'm having these times, I typically will go back and look at my thought downloads. And I will look at like just kind of like what feelings am I picking each day? And am I getting there? That kind of stuff. Like I'll read through and I'll start noticing, okay, you're getting angry a lot. And like every day you're writing about being angry about something, or every day you're telling yourself that there's just too much to do. That really helps, because then you start seeing like your patterns, and it makes it just faster in your next download. You'll know exactly where to go. You'll know exactly what's going on. And it also makes it easier during the day, because then what happens is during the day, if you have like wrote about it enough and you read it, then you'll hear yourself go there during the day and you'll be like, oh shit, here I am doing it again. Then you can like reroute during the day rather than at the end of the day noticing, yeah, I spent most of the day like just thinking I had too much to do. No wonder I feel so exhausted and blah, blah, blah. Now you get to catch it in the middle and you get to refocus and regroup. So it's, guys, that's hard. That's mentally challenging. It is easier. I'm going to tell you, you know, what's the easiest thing to do? Sit around, diddle an easy word, check my email, like get angry, be frustrated, go have a drink. You know, like say like, yeah, I'm having a drink. I mean, who closes on a house? Who does this? Who does that? Like, it's a lot easier to excuse all that shit. But it's not easier in the long run, because then you're having to unwind terrible habits you create for yourself and stuff. So it's like, I just do it now. Let's see. Okay. That's it for the day. Well, y'all, everybody pray for Mama's Mac. We want it to come back up. Other than that, I think I went, oh my gosh, is it really almost, is this an hour and 20 minutes? Did we start? Oh no, we started at 9 o'clock. I thought we started at 8:30. I was like, holy shit, this went fast. All right, you guys have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow for Weekend Motivator. Not sure what I'll be talking about. I'm sure I'll come up with something, but I'm like, man, I went off on it on the first part. But y'all have a good one, and I will see you then. Bye, y'all.